Maria. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, continue the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 24, text 26. It's on the board, right? It's on the board? Because it's a prose, okay. So since it's a prose, it's not metric verse. So I read the text and the translations. So text 26, the topic of the subterranean heavenly planet, Bilaswag. Tasha Mahanubhavasyanu Vatam Amrijit. Amriji Takasaya Ko Vasma Vida Parhina Bhagavat Anugraha Upaji Ganeshati Tasya of Prahlad Maharaj Maha Anubhavasya, who was an exalted devotee, Anupatam, the path. Amrijata Kasaya, a person who is materially contaminated. Kaha, what? Va, or Asmadvidaha, like us. Parhina, Bhagavat, Anugraha, being without the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upajigami Sati, desires to follow. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Bali Maharaj said, persons like us who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. Purpose. It is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits his exalted position. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishna Ya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Vanta Kaupata Vyastha Kripa Sivya Chapaditana Pravani Vashna Vyo Namo Namaha Tasya Manu Bhavashya Namo Pratyanga Mrijyata Kasayako Vashma Vidha Parina Bhagavat Anugraha Upaji Gasame Gamisatiti. Bali Maharaj said, persons like us who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the molds of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. So, in the last several verses, the past about 7 or 8 verses or so, we have been hearing about Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj, how he was able to enable the Supreme Lord to actually become his chokidar, his gatekeeper in the subterranean heavenly planets. So it's, of course, a very, very interesting topic, because this chapter is specifically dealing with the descriptions of the heavenly planet, the subterranean heavenly planets. Because there are planetary systems, Bhuva, Swaha, we are the middle planet. So they have planets in the middle, and based on your activities, you can go up or you can go down. However, there is the lower planetary systems, which are called subterranean, like they mentioned here, the Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, you know, different planets. And these planets, they are considered to be, they are much more higher in enjoyment than the heavenly planets. With these descriptions. Yes, heavenly planet is, you know, normally you go there, there's so much enjoyment there. But the subterranean heavenly planet, they are much more higher in terms of enjoyment. However, the heavenly planets, it's mainly by demigods. They reside there, they live there, that is their place. Whereas the subterranean heavenly planet, that's for the demons. Those who simply want to enjoy themselves without any restrictions. Whereas in the heavenly planet, by the demigods like Indra, all the demigods, there's always some kind of restriction is there. But subterranean heavenly planet, there's no restrictions. So, Bali Maharaj is, he attained such a great opulence. He attained such a great opulence to the extent that even the Supreme Lord himself, Vamandev, he became his doorkeeper, so that his enjoyment can be all restricted. So Vamandev became his doorkeeper. There was one time, Ravan came. So Ravan came one time to try to disturb Bali Maharaj, but as he came to the door, to the gateway, Ravan was kicked by Vamandev. He was kicked to a distance of 100 miles, just kicking away. So that in this way, Bali Maharaj cannot be disturbed by anything. Now, there is some points which have been dealt with in these particular verses, in Srila Prabhupada's purports, and also in the hints given by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, that how is it that Bali Maharaj attained this exalted position, such a great opulence, and such that even the Supreme Lord himself became his doorkeeper? How did he attain this position? So this has been deliberated in these few verses. Did he attain this position because we know that Bali Maharaj, you know, he kicked out all the demigods from their post, and then he occupied the post of Indra. So when he occupied the post of Indra, he had to appeal to Lord Vishnu that should come and get back the heavenly kingdom back from him. And then, so the Lord came as Vamanadev, and then he begged 3 pieces of land from Bali. So he begged from this piece of land, and then of course Bali Maharaj, he gave whatever he was asked for, he gave 3 pieces of land. When he gave the charity, and even when the Lord took 2 steps, the whole universe was covered, and then there's 1 step what was left. So the Lord said, okay, I've You have promised me 3 steps of land, but I've only covered 2 steps. I've covered the whole universe. So what is left for you to give me? And then, of course, Bali Maharaj submitted. He said that you can. My head is there. You can put your feet, you know, on my head. So basically, Bali Maharaj, he gave everything. So, because he gave everything, is that the reason why he attained such a great opulence in the subterranean heavenly planet? After, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said that, he said, Yiyatama Prapadyantes, Tantatva Bajamiyaham, that anyone who surrendered to me, as the way you surrendered to me, I give the corresponding results to the level of your surrender. So, which means if you approach the Lord in any numbers of way, you get a corresponding the result. But is it, did Bali actually obtain his position? This great position, just because of his giving everything to the Lord. Is that the reason why? So, this point, it's been dealt with both Srila Prabhupada and also the commentary also by Srila Vishnu Chakravartipad, that no, it's not the case. It's not the reason because Bali Maharaj, because of his giving up everything to the Lord, so therefore the Lord reciprocated with him. That is not the reason. After a Bali Maharaj, he's a great devotee. Not just a great devotee, he's a pure devotee. And the devotees of the Lord, they are not really interested in any form of material opulence. Actually, devotees, they shy away from any form of material opulence. They're not interested in this. But how can we find someone like Bali Maharaj now who attained this great opulence, which is a much enjoyment? So how is this? So could it be because of his of his worship? No. This is not the reason here. In the previous purport by Srila Prabhupada, I think it's in text number 22. So Srila Prabhupada had mentioned he said there are 2 kinds of opulence. One which results from one's karma is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material, exalted material opulence. It is not due to his karma. Rather, it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and openly. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. This is the Lord's mercy because if a neophyte devotee becomes materially opulent, he forgets the service of the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigods causes forgetfulness of the Lord, but opulence was given to Bali Maharaj for continued service to the Lord, which was free from any touch of Maya. We know there have been so many, many histories in the past of many, many great devotees who have attained great opulence. There have been many, many stories in the past. Many, many, many great sages, great kings who have so much opulence. And at the same time, they were great devotees of the Lord. Now, those devotees, now how did they look at those opulence? How did they look at it? Are they very attached to those opulence? There's a story. This story from Mahabharata. So there was one time, Sukadev, is Sukadev Goswami, who is the narrator of Bhagavatam. So one time after taking birth from his parent, because actually Sukadev Goswami, right from even from the womb of his mother, he was already endowed with transcendental knowledge. He was already full of knowledge. Because when he was in the womb of his mother, Nadamuni gave him spiritual instructions. So when he was born, so from his childhood, he was always engaged in meditation. He was always engaged in meditation, always engaging in a great austerity. So one time, He decided to go to Vaikuntha planet, Vaikuntha Loka, to see Lord Vishnu. So he went to Vaikuntha, and when he reaches the Vaikuntha gate, he said that he went to see the Lord, he wanted to have the Lord's audience, Lord Vishnu's audience. So the gatekeeper, they went inside to inform Lord Vishnu that Sugadev is here to have your audience. So the gatekeeper came, they said, no, you cannot come here, nobody can enter Vaikuntha unless you have a guru. You cannot enter here, because that time Sukadev Goswami had not been initiated by a guru that time. So they said that no one can enter Vaikuntha planet unless they had been initiated by a guru. So you should come, you should go back. You cannot enter here. Of course, Sukadev Goswami, he thought that, being the son of a great sage, and himself is a sage himself, it's a great tapestry. He thought he could just enter Vaikuntha Loka. But no, he said, no, you cannot enter here because you don't have a guru. So Sukadev Goswami, he came back. And I told his father what had happened, that he went to Vaikuntha planet, and he told him that he could not enter unless he has a guru. So therefore, then he asked his father that who should he be initiated by? So therefore, he must have a guru. So his father told him that if you want a guru, you go to Janaka Maharaj. You go to Janak, and he will give you initiation. So when Sukha heard it from his father, he said, Janak Maharaj? Daddy, father, what are you out of your mind? Janaka Maharaj is a sage. I mean, he's a great king. The kings, they are known for their big enjoyment. How can I, and I'm a sannyasi, how can I go to a king and ask him for initiation? So he just said, no, you must go to him. He's the one that has to give you initiation. So he tried to go to Janak Maharaj. And anytime he goes there, he sees so much opulence, so much enjoyment going on. And I immediately go back. He said, no, I cannot be initiated by this king. You know, he's a sense enjoyer. But every time he comes there, he goes back, his father will again send him back again. He said, no, you have to go back there. He's the one that's going to be your guru. So every time he was sending go back and forth, at least 12 times. He was going back and forth, And then Akonadamani became a little bit pity on him. So Nadamani came in a disguise, you know. So, and then Nadamani gave a hint of how he should not miss the opportunity of being initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. He should not miss that opportunity, you know. So based on the advice of Nadamani, so Sukadev Goswami, so he went back to Janak Maharaj. So when he was reaching the palace, so he was thinking that, well, after all, his Sukha is the son of Vyasadev. So he thought that the king would come out of the palace and welcome him. But the king did not. So he was standing outside the gate, and when the servant informed Janak Maharaj that Sukha is here to see you. So Janak Maharaj said, just let him wait there. Let him wait there. He did not even, he said, just let him wait there. So Sukadev Goswami was standing outside, but where he was standing, it happens to be a place where they were throwing all the garbage, all the refuse. So people, they were throwing the garbage from the palace, and everything was falling on him. But he was in the same spot, just standing for about 4 days. So much so that he was buried in the refuse. So at the end of 4 days, so Janak Maharaj, he asked his servant, said, where is Sukha? They said, oh, he's outside in the garbage. He's outside buried within the garbage. So he said, okay, you go and educate him and bring him here. You should bathe him nicely, have him nicely dressed, and bring him to me. So they removed Sukadev from the from this garbage, from the refuse, and he was dressed nicely. So he was being brought to the palace in front of Janaki Maharaj. But just before reaching, so Janaki Maharaj, he created an illusion. He created an illusion, and this, so as Sukadev Goswami entered the room where Janaki Maharaj was, so one servant came and told Janaki Maharaj that, hey, The whole city is on fire. The whole city is on fire. What to do? So General Kemal said, well, that is God's will. If the whole city is on fire, that is God's will. And after some time, another servant came. He said, oh, Maharaj, all your court, everything, all your assembly, everything's already, has already caught fire. You know? So General Maharaj replied, he said, well, that is God's will. If everything's on fire, that is God's will. Then another servant came. He said, hey, Maharaj, the whole palace is on fire. The palace is on fire. So General Maharaj said, well, the whole palace is on fire. That is God's will. That is, if God's will, that is his will then. So Sukadeva Goswami was wondering, this foolish king, the whole palace is on fire and he's not running away. Why is he not running away? And he decided to run away himself. So he took his bag and he started to run away. But as I was starting to run away, so Janak Maharaj, he grabbed him. He said, oh, why are you running away for your life? I am the, you know, why are you running away? All my possessions have been burned to ashes, you know, but I'm not worried about it. But you only have this bag which has no value, and you are running away. So therefore, who is the real renunciate, me or you? Who's a true renunciate? So in this way, so Sukadeva Goswami was, he became convinced that yes, Janak Maharaj is actually truly a renunciate, and then he asked him for initiation. So when he asked him for initiation, so Janak Maharaj said, no, you are not qualified to be initiated. You are not suitable. You are not qualified for initiation. And then, so Janak Maharaj said, okay, now, because Sukadeva Goswami, he had come to town, and Sukadeva Goswami, you know, he's the son of a great sage. So therefore, he wants to welcome him to the city. So Janak Maharaj, he instructed all his servants and ministers, he said that they should construct, they should make the whole cities full of festival atmosphere. They should construct nice assemblies, dancing areas, all these things. And he wants Sukadeva Goswami to enjoy the opulence of the city. So Janak Maharaj told Sukadeva Goswami, he said, now I want you to experience the city. I want to have an experience about the city. All the enjoyment is there. So I want you to go out, and then in the evening you come back. However, and then he gave Sukadeva Goswami a cup of milk. He said, take this milk. He gave Sukadeva Goswami a cup of milk. He said, take this cup of milk with you. I'm going all over the city, and I want you to experience everything. So in the meanwhile, Janak Maharaj instructed his soldiers. He said, look, all of you, I want you to guide Sukha through the city. But this cup of milk that he's carrying, if he should spill any of them, I want you to cut his head off. If he should spill even a drop of the milk, he should be beheaded. So this instruction was given by Janak Maharaj. So at the end of the day, Sukadeva Goswami came back to Janak Maharaj. He returned to the palace. And Janak Maharaj said that, oh, you've returned. So how was your experience? How was your experience of the city? Sukha said, oh, I did not see anything. And Maharaj said, how come you didn't see anything? He said, well, I didn't see anything because the only thing, I was only concentrating only on this cup only. I was only concentrating only on this cup of milk. Otherwise, if there should be any sleep, because I know that I may lose my life if there should be any drop. So therefore, I was simply concentrating only on this cup of milk. So Janak Maharaj said, yes. The same way, that's the way I also look at all this opulence. I'm surrounded by all this opulence that I'm having. I also don't see nothing. I don't see nothing at all. I'm only concentrating only on the Supreme Lord. Because this cup of milk, the vessel of the milk represents death, and then the milk represents the mind. So which means at any point of time, the mind can always be drawn towards sense gratification. So when the mind is drawn towards sense gratification, then one can always lose one's spiritual focus. So therefore, I'm always thinking only of the Supreme Lord. So all this openness, I don't see it at all. So that is a vision, that is a mind of pure devotees of the Lord. They don't see, even though they are given some specific opulence to enjoy. Actually, they don't enjoy it because they are simply seeing it as the manifestation of the Lord. So therefore, it's not even never a concern for them. So there was one time when Pundarik Vidyanidhi was, of course, a great devotee of the Lord. So one time, Mukunda Datta, he told Gadara that I want to take you to a great devotee. I want to take you to a great Vaishnava, Pundarik, so you can follow me. So, and of course, Gadara was very, very happy that yes, he's going to see a great Vaishnava. So when they reached the house of Pundarik, it was like in a big chair, big throne. And he was dressed in a very, very opulent sea clothing, very opulently dressed. And he was being fanned by attractive ladies. He was smoking a big pipe. He was like somebody who was terribly enjoying himself. So when Gadara saw this, he became kind of confused. He said, how is it that Mukunda is bringing me to this person, telling me that this person is a great devotee, but this person is just a materialistic sense enjoyer? Why is he bringing me here? So Mukunda, knowing the mind of Gadara, so he started reciting the verse, you know, which was composed by Uddhava. You know, I hope back is that. The last line said, "Kand dayalam sana brajima." That this verse, which was describing how Krishna he had killed Putana. So Krishna killed Putana, because Putana had come to give poison to Krishna to kill him, but because Putana he had offered a breast milk to Krishna, so Krishna he actually overlooked a fault. He overlooked the fault of Putana. Rather, he actually gave her the greatest benediction in terms of she became one of Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. Even though she had come with a demonic mentality, but Krishna actually overlooked her fault. So in this way, so Uddhava was saying that who else shall I take shelter of? So when Pundarik, when he heard this verse being recited by Mukunda, so it was very, very immediately he became full of emotions. He became full of emotion. Immediately he was tearing up all his clothing. He threw out everything. All the puppy was smoking, threw it away. He tore up all his clothing and then he fell down on the ground. He was completely rolling in ecstasy of love of God. So in this way, Gadara could know that this person is a great devotee. If this person is not really attracted to any form of a material enjoyment, and then of course Gadara, he accepted him as as a guru. He accepted him this way. So this is how the devotees, this is how the Lord, this is how the devotees sees things. So Bali Maharaj, he did not attain this position because of his offering, because of his renunciation that he gave up. No. He attained his position because he has developed love of God. He was born actually after the Lord crossed the universe with two steps, and then the Lord was asking that now you Bali, you have become a criminal now. Because you made a promise and you cannot fulfill your promise of giving the top steps of land. So Bali was bound with rope. He was bound up with ropes. Now, so Bali was bound up with ropes to be sent down to the lower planet. But what rope was he bound with? Was it ordinary rope? Was it a materialistic rope? No, Bali was bound with rope of love. Because Bali, when he first saw Vaman, He immediately developed attraction for the Lord. He immediately developed attraction when Vaman came. He developed attraction that all of a sudden, all his materialistic desire was completely vanished, even before that man asking for three steps of land. So he developed a Krishna Rati. So immediately he was so happy that the Lord had come there. So because of this attraction which he has developed, so therefore, this is the stimulative principle by which he developed love of God. Of course, we know that Bali, he was the grandson of a Prahlad Maharaj. So Bali was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, he was able to attain this exalted position of being able to develop this intense bhakti to the Lord. So this so when Bali was born, so he was born with the rope of love, not with the ordinary. Of course, described that he was born with Vasuki rope, the rope of Vasuki, but actually he was born with the rope of love, and so the love becomes so. The Lord became so actually captivated by Bali. He became so conquered by Bali's love, by Bali's bhakti, that the Lord himself, he voluntarily became under the control of Bali. That's part of prem, that's part of bhakti, because bhakti is a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. Normally, the devotees, they love Krishna, and also Krishna also loves his devotees. So because bhakti is always a one-way thing. So even though the Lord said that Yayataman Prabhupadiyanti, Tansataka Bajanyaham, that when one surrender this to me, I give them the corresponding result. But those devotees who have developed unalloyed love for the Lord, who have developed love for him, the Lord actually, he said that actually I'm unable to repay you. Just like he was telling the Brijavasi. The gopis of Vrindavan, who had completely forsaken everything, religiosity, everything, they forsook everything just for Krishna. They went to meet Krishna in the middle of the night in Vrindavan. So they went to meet Krishna in the middle of the night. So even though Krishna, he disappeared from them, and then all of them, they were searching for Krishna. So they were searching for him, and then they were lamenting. They were singing the song of separation from Krishna. But however, when the gopis, when they were lamenting for Krishna, they were not lamenting because of their own sake. They were not lamenting because Krishna was not with them. No, they were lamenting because they feel like, oh, Krishna, you are walking in the forest. You are walking in the forest and your foot is being pricked by so many, many fans, so many, many stones, and this is giving us so much pain. Because your feet is so soft that when we put your foot on our breast, we feel that your feet must be having pain. And we feel that our breast is so hard and you're giving your foot pain, but the same foot is not working on the ground of Vrindavan, and there's so many, many stones, so many, many fans. So this is giving us a lot of pain. So this is the extent of their love. That Krishna said, oh, so Krishna became so completely subjugated by the love of his loving devotees. But he said, oh, my dear gopis, that yes, actually, I cannot repay your love for me. I cannot repay it. So I cannot repay your love for me. So therefore, I become eternally indebted to you. So in this way, even though the Lord is unconquerable, but he became conquered by his loving devotee. So Lord Brahma said that Gyane Prayaso the person the man Tahiva, he said that that people, those who have come to take shelter of the Lord, because they have completely given up all kinds of speculation Gyane Prayas, and they simply take shelter of him. And the Christians call Ajita. The Ajita become Jita, he become conquered by the love of his devotees. So because when Krishna becomes conqueror, so therefore he becomes his own devotee servant. Like in the case of Bali Maharaj, he became Bali Maharaj's chokhi there, his security guard. You know, I mean, this is not an ordinary thing. You know? And of course, it's not that devotees are happy when they have to receive service from the Lord, but it's just an exchange, it's a reciprocation. Because the Lord becomes powerless with his loving devotees. So therefore, the Lord, it takes this inferior position. When Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was chanting on the back of Radhakund, it was a very hot sunny day. So Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting, and it was such a hot summer. Sometimes Srimati Radharani, she will come and lifted a sari just to cover Raghunath Das Goswami to protect him from the sun. And also sometimes, because that time in Radhakund, there are so many wild animals, like tigers and others. So, because Raghunath Das Goswami will be so much absorbed in chanting, that Krishna himself will come and will stand with a stick in his hand, protecting him from any form of disturbance by any kind of wild animals. So saying this, Srila Rupa Goswami will say, "Oh, Raghuna, what are you doing? Why are you taking service from the divine couple? Why are you letting them serve you? We are supposed to be their servant. So you should make yourself a cutting so that they don't have to go. I don't want you to be bothering the divine couple, you know." But this kind of things become in a helpless situation. How the Lord becomes subservient to his devotees. So this is exactly what happened in the case of Bali Maharaj, you know. So there's a nice recitation, a nice verse by Srila Bhimanga Thakur. He was talking how devotees they really have no concern for any form of material wealth. Their only attraction is simply Lord Krishna. What is this verse? My iPad is not opening. Anyway, it says there's this verse, Bhakti Stoyi Stratara. I can't open this to you. But Srila Prabhupada he made a quote of this verse in the Prabhupada. He said that Mukti Swayam Muklitanjali Shivati Ashma. That a pure devotee, he does not have to give separately for Mukti because Mukti is always ready to serve him. As we just, when a pure devotee is, when they absorb their service, the Mukti, we want to serve devotees, and then Dharma Atakana, the religiosity, economic development, same gratification, they actually always waiting to serve a devotee of the Lord. Even though devotees, they really have no concern for them. So, because devotees, that, okay, there's one verse here said, Na Sarati Man Yogo, Na Sakyan Dharma Udhava, Na Sadiyastapas Yogo, Yata Bhakti Mamojita. My dear Uddhava, the unalloyed devotee, devotional service rendered to me by my devotee brings me under their control. I cannot be thus controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. So, this is the some of the points that yes, only by bhakti, that's the only way by which Krishna is conquered by his devotees. And even though sometimes a devotee may be in some position whereby he has opulence, great opulence, but this opulence was given by the Lord himself because the Lord, he wanted to be served that way, not because the devotees, they want the opulence. It's because the Lord, he wanted to be served with that particular situation. And I'm going to stop here. If there's any comment, question about this verse? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Want to add something, Prabhu? Want to add something? Anyway, thank you for coming. Grant Rashmi Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. Go up in there. this case here, somebody left a key.